Amen, amen. Y'all can have a seat. Well, good morning, good morning. Those of you here in person and those of you online, welcome to MC3 Church. We are honored that you're here with us this morning. We are ending our series, Sabbath, a Holy Day, today. Usually what I do with my students is when I say, hey, we're ending a series, I'm like, aw, because it was so good, right? So we're ending our series today, Sabbath, a Holy Day, resting in God. There we go. It's a little bit better. So we hope that you've been encouraged and challenged throughout this series. As we talked throughout this whole series, we're talking about resting in God, right? Resting in God's promise, His plan, His provision, His peace, His truth, His faithfulness, His goodness. And today we end it with resting in His salvation. My hope today is that you would be encouraged today and that you will leave here filled, right? The first week that I came, that I spoke, everybody was crying. We had tissues over here. The next week, I kind of challenged us. Today, I just want to encourage us. Today is just about nothing but encouragement. So today, I hope that you will leave filled with power, with joy, with purpose, with courage, with strength, with favor, with hope, with peace, with compassion, with love, filled with the Holy Spirit today. Not because of anything I'm going to say, but because of the salvation of God through Jesus Christ. And so, before we get into it, I'm going to tell a story about preschool G, all right? Most of you know me as G, so that's me. It's going to sound a lot, if you know my son Cruz, it's going to sound a lot like him, but it's me, okay? So it's really me. I wrote, Cruz got his attitude from his daddy and his looks from his mama. So, and you'll see that in this story. So when I was in preschool, I don't know, I was 5, 4, something like that. I can't remember if my parents were divorced yet or not. They were going through it or whatever. But anyway, my mom would take me to preschool. And this was before cell phones. So my mom would get these reports. So when I was in class, in my preschool class, we would have like gathering time and they'd have these chairs set up. And they're like, hey, everybody, hey, guys, sit in their chairs. So everybody would sit in the chairs except me. I would go ahead and be like, I'm sitting on the ground. So they would remove the chairs and then they'd be like, all right, everybody sit on the ground. And I would find a chair and I would sit in the chair. So anything the teacher said, I did the opposite. There was this one time, I remember this, and I was telling my mom, because I was like calling her to make sure I had like all the facts right. And I was like, Mom, do you remember when I was sleeping on the bus? I don't know how we had buses in preschool, but whatever. I was sleeping on the bus, and my stop came. And the bus driver, you know, sweet bus driver comes and says, hey, your bus, you know, your stop's here. You got to get up. You got to get off the bus because she didn't want to, you know, deal with me, right? So I wake up. She goes up to the front. She sits right here, right? All right, I'm coming. Before I get to the steps, I look at her and I go, and I go down the steps. Yes, yes, yes. This is a true story. I kicked her because she woke me up. So don't wake me up, okay? So needless to say, there was a lot of incidents with me in preschool. So far that they're like, hey, Miss Veronica, that's my mom's name, you're going to have to get a pager. Those of you who don't know what a pager is, this little thing that goes right here. No, you don't know what pager is. All right. So she had to get a pager so that if any time I got in trouble, they could call her and she had to come pick me up. Yeah. I guess that was that bad, huh? So they almost kicked me out. They're like, he's just too much. If you don't get a pager, we're going to have to kick him out. You have to find somewhere else to go. He's just too crazy. So my mom got a pager, but there's this one moment I remember so vividly. Through all this chaos, through all me being kicking and screaming and being reckless and chaotic, there's this one day I remember my mom comes to pick me up early. And I don't know, I was probably like super happy. I'm like, get out, I'm getting out of here. I walk through the doors and my mom's right there. And there's this Power Rangers toy. Just this big box. That's the transformer when they all come together. And it was right here and it had like a little controller on it. And I just remember that moment. And I remember it because I believe, because I don't think I deserved it. Right? Like, I was kicking my teachers. I was yelling, screaming, not paying attention, whatever. And I remember this moment. And I told my mom one day, I was like, Mom, you remember? She's like, yeah. I was like, why'd you do that? It's like, I just felt like you needed it. And I share that story because for some of us today, we don't feel like we deserve God's mercy. We don't feel like we deserve God's grace or love or joy or power or compassion or purpose or confidence. And I didn't deserve it. But my mom loved me and said, you know what, I'm going to give him this toy. And it stuck with me and it'll stick forever with me. And the reason why this story is so powerful to me is because it reveals to me how God deals with us. Man, we don't deserve anything. And yet he so freely gives it to us. And not just little bits, right? Not just like, hey, if you here's a little treat because you don't deserve it, but I'm just going to give you something. He gives us so much more abundantly. And for some of us, I feel that we feel too old, not old enough, too young to receive the mercy and grace of God. Oh, I'm past my prime. I can't do anything. God can't. I don't deserve the mercy. Or, hey, I'm not old enough. I don't earn it. I haven't earned it yet. I haven't earned your love. I haven't earned your purpose. I share this story because we too were foolish like I was in elementary and preschool, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures, envious and malicious, being hated and hating others. As children, teenagers, young adults, elderly, in every season, we are, whatever season we're in, there's the kindness and love of God that appears. Whatever season you're in, the kindness and love of God will appear to us. In Titus 3 and 5, it says this: at one time, we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness of love of God appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. I was foolish when I was in preschool. I was foolish. I was enslaved by my passions and my pleasures, right? Whatever made me happy, I would do, right? That lady that woke me up, kicked her, don't wake me up. I was foolish. But just like we were foolish when we were in preschool, when we were five, just like we were foolish in elementary school, just like we were foolish in middle school and high school and college, I'm foolish when I'm an adult. I'm foolish when I have being married. Like, there were times where when Morgan and I lived in Arizona, there were just times where I was foolish. And there are times when Morgan and I are envious of other people's lives. Man, you're getting sleep. Your kids are sleeping through the night. Oh, I hate you. I say it funny, but I kind of do, right? And in every season, we are foolish, right? We are foolish. We are disobedient. Like, you can't tell me because you're older doesn't mean you haven't disobeyed God lately. And just because you're young, it doesn't mean you haven't disobeyed God either, right? So we are, in every season, we have been foolish and disobedient. We have hated others, and others have hated us. But Titus 3:4 says this, when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared. His love and his kindness has appeared. How do we know? Because he saved us. He saved us, not because of things we have done or will do or had done. He saved us because of his kindness and love. And because of his kindness and love, his mercy saved us, not because of anything we have done. And today I pray, I hope that you would feel his kindness and his love. And as you feel his kindness and his love, you would receive his mercy and understand that you have been saved. It's by God's mercy he saved us. His mercy has saved us. If you follow Jesus, if you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you made the profession of faith, his kindness and his love has appeared to you. And because his kindness and his love appeared to you, guess what? You have mercy and you've been saved. When you said, Jesus, I give my life to you. I accept you. I receive you. You are my Lord and Savior. His kindness and his love has appeared to you. Because in that confession, as you follow Jesus, he's not looking at what you do. He's looking at his son and saying, they have mercy. My love and kindness has appeared to them. And we just have to receive it. We have to live in it. Man, are you filled with joy? Why? Man, I'm filled with joy because his love and kindness appeared to me today. How? His mercy saved me. I've been saved by the blood of Jesus. Do I get it right? No. Do I say the right things? No. I've been foolish. I've been disobedient. But thank God his love and his kindness appeared. Why? Because I have mercy on my side and his mercy saved me. And so now I can be filled with joy. I can be filled with purpose. I can be filled with courage. I can be filled with strength, compassion, kindness. You can be filled today because of his mercy has saved you. Man, as I was practicing this, I was like, man, this is so good. Like, I'm just so excited that I can't wait because I know what our church has been through. I know what we're going through and what we'll go through. But if we are just so joyful and say, hey, you know what? God has been so good to me. But didn't you just lose somebody? Yes, I did. But guess what? His kindness and love has appeared to me. And because of his mercy, that person that passed, I know they are full of joy and hope and purpose. They are with the God Almighty. And you know what? God is with me, giving me joy, purpose, and peace, and comfort, and blessing because his love and his kindness appeared to me. And I receive his mercy. And because I've received his mercy, I am saved. He has saved us. His mercy saved us. He saved us despite our foolishness, right? Because we can be fools. He saved us despite our disobedience because we will disobey. He saved us despite our evil passions and pleasures because, you know what? We're human. We have flesh. He saved us despite our malice. He saved us despite our envy. He saved us despite our hatred. He saved us because of his mercy. His kindness and love has appeared. Have you seen it? You know, when Jesus says, those who have eyes to see, let them see. And those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Man, let our eyes see that his kindness and love has appeared. Let our ears hear that his mercy has saved us, not because of what we've done or what we will do, but because of who he is. He is God Almighty, the great I am, our Redeemer and Savior. Amen. Amen. He saved us. No matter what season you're in. I always thought as I got older that I would be better. And kind of, yes. But at the same time, I'm still a kid. Oh, man. There was a day this week. Gosh, if Morgan was here, she'd be so like, yeah. Morgan and I were sitting on the couch. We just put them to bed. All right. Camila's in sleep. Cruz is asleep. And we're sitting on the couch, and we're watching a show, and it's just like relaxed time. And I'm like, hey, I really want some gummies. You know, I'm a big gummy guy, all right? She's like, why? I'm like, I just want some gummies. Can you give me some? Like, there's no gummies in the house, so she would have to actually leave the house and go get some gummies. So, you know, I try to charm her. I'm like, oh, come on, babe, please. Like, I would do it for you, you know, the whole guilt trip. She's like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm tired. I'm like, I'm tired too, but you remember? Like, come on. So I got mad, like a two-year-old, because I didn't get my gummies. I was just like, ugh, whatever. And so I just sat there. I saw you. I saw what you said. So she was sitting this way. Right? It's like a seat there, and I was sitting over here. She's like, are you seriously mad right now? I was like, yeah. Like, hopefully that would work, right? And the more I sat there, the more foolish I became, and the more mad I got for no reason. Like, it was just foolish. And I tell you that story, one, to embarrass myself, but two, because I'm not there yet. And we can get so caught up in saying, I'm here. God, I've done this. I've done this. Like, I've been there. Like, God, I preach. I've been preaching the last three Sundays. I read my Bible. I do all this stuff. And we get into the mindset that we have done something and we have earned God's mercy and earned his love and his kindness. Oh, I give 10%. Oh, I go to church. I do this. And we make it a checkbox rather than doing it out of worship and kind and admiration. And we sit here, we're like, yeah, God, I deserve this. No. Let our eyes see and our ears hear. His kindness and love has appeared through his mercy, and he saved us despite us. Despite us. And he saved us. But not only did he save us, he makes us heirs. 5-7. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that having been justified by grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. He saved us. His mercy saved us, but his mercy also makes us heirs. Makes us heirs. If you can't rejoice that you are a son of the king, you are a daughter of the king, you are a royal priesthood, then you need to check it. You need to check yourself. And the reason why I hope this is encouraging, because some of us, I've seen some of these nails up here. Not to be nosy, but just to kind of, you know, see what people are going through. And you are a child of the King. You are a son of God Almighty. You are a daughter of God Almighty. He has made you an heir, and you have purpose. And you have an identity. And you are loved. And you are chosen. He has chosen us by his mercy. We hadn't done anything, and yet he chose us to be heirs, to be called sons and daughters. Man, what a beautiful, beautiful picture. I think about my kids, like there's nothing Cruz did when he came out of the womb besides looking weird. I loved him. He didn't do anything. He didn't give me $100. He didn't say, hey, Dad, I'm going to be a professional baseball player, so when I get there, I'll take you to every stadium. No, he didn't do nothing. Camila, when she came, she looked way better than he did. I was shocked when I saw him. I was like, this is what a baby looks like? This is not what I expected. I'm being honest. So, like, you see a baby, and I'm like, yeah, it looks good. You know, I'm lying. But Camila was cute. She was cute. But she didn't do anything either, and I loved her so much. And that's what God does with us. He saw us, and he can't do anything. He already loves you. All we have to do is accept it and receive it. And as I'll probably learn later, our kids will have to do the same as they grow and they become their own person. That they have to know that we love them regardless. But they have to receive that. Just like my mom and my dad, you know, they weren't the best parents, but as I'm getting older, and I talked to somebody about this the other day, I was like, I didn't understand parenthood. I didn't understand how to be a dad or a mom, and I didn't know the pains and the struggles and all this until I had kids, and I'm like, Mom, thank you. I get it. I get it. I'm sorry I was disobedient and foolish and naive. But now that I have kids, thank you. I understand just a little bit more of your love and your mercy and your compassion and your hard work. And for us as kids, as children of God, he gives us certain points, areas of like where we get to see, okay, God, I get it. Now that I have a kid, I get it. God, man. Being patient is a gift. And God, you are patient with me. And so as you're patient with me, let me be patient with my son. His kindness and love has appeared. And he calls us heirs. We have a hope. We have a joy. We have a purpose. As I was working on this, I usually run, and I have the Nike app here, and I usually do this 10-minute or 20-minute run. It's out and back, and it's with this guy named Tom Sack, and he's like an artist, so I was like, why is he doing this? But anyway, he started telling a story, and as he's as I'm finishing, right, you go 10 minutes out, you mark an X, and then you wait about 30 seconds, and then you go back 10 minutes. And so it's kind of cool because, like, you know, your first run, you mark an X, you're like, okay. And then the next run, you're like, oh, I got a little further. Oh, cool. You can mark a little X, you know. And so that's why I like it. Anyway, as the run was ending, you stop the watch and they start talking. They're like, good job, you did great. And then he tells a story about himself. He's like, I went to this college, and they welcomed all. It was a liberal arts school, and he said, as they welcomed you, they said, you're a professional artist now. You're a professional artist. And, you know, he was like, oh, I don't know what that means, but okay, cool, whatever. But as they said, you're a professional artist, he was like, you started to believe you were a professional artist. And he said, as you started to believe, you started to become one. You're a follower of Jesus. You're a child of God. What if we welcomed people and said, you're a child of God. You follow Jesus. You're a follower of Jesus. And you started to believe you're a follower of Jesus. And as you started to believe you're a follower of Jesus, you started to act like a follower of Jesus. And as you started to act like a follower of Jesus, you started to become one. For some of us, we've forgotten. We are a child of God. You're a child of God. You are loved. You have a purpose. You have power. You have strength. You have courage. You have perseverance. Whatever goes, whatever happens in your life, God is your Father and He is with you. You are a follower of Christ. Man, do you believe that? Because there are times in our world where you don't, right? Like, we've fallen, we've been foolish, we've disobeyed, we hate some people. Do you believe that you are a follower of Christ? Do you believe not only that you're a follower of Christ, but that you are a child of God? What if we believed we were children of God? How would we act towards one another? What would we say to one another? How would we respond to others? Man, you are a child of God. Yeah, I'm a child of God. So I'm gonna be compassionate. I'm going to show patience when I'm driving and I really want to lay in this horn because somebody can't drive. I'm like, I'm a child of God. You know what? They're probably having a hard day. Or they can't drive. But you know what? I'm going to be compassionate towards them because I'm a child of God. Miss Atina saw me one day and I did that. I was not a child of God. She even called me out. She's like, hey, I called you. I was like, what'd you call me for? She's like, I saw you. I was like, we were, you know, the little roundabout off of Old Tucker Road. People do not know how to drive. All right, look, I need to. I'm a child of God. I'm going to be compassionate, but I'm going to tell the truth because people do not know how to use that roundabout. Like, it's a yield. It's not a stop sign. And it's a yield. It's not just go, okay? So there's this one time I was going, and this car, like, just kept going. And I didn't honk the horn, but I did give them face. I guess my face gives it away. But God's love and kindness appeared, and He shows me mercy and compassion. I'm still a child. I'm still His kid. And He says, you know what, Gerardo? You could be 33 years old. You could be 40 years old. You could be 50 years old. I'm going to show you patience and kindness and love because you're still my kid. Now, does He give us a little bit more wiggle room as you get older like you normally do, like parents, as you... They come in high school, you give them a little breathing room, see if they can, you know, make good choices. And if they don't, they reel them back and then, okay. That's what God does with us. But we have to understand that His kindness and love appeared and His mercy saved us, not because of what we've done. And His mercy makes us heirs because of who He is, and He is the King of glory. Titus 3:8, he says this. This is trustworthy. This is a trustworthy saying. And I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may carefully devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. His mercy causes us to do good. His mercy causes us to do good. His salvation leads us to doing things that are good. Colossians 3:23-24 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. James 4:17 says, if anyone knows the good that they ought to do and does not do it, it's sin for them. Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." Young, old, in between, whatever you're at, we are called to do good. We are called to do a good work. So as I close and finish, I want to encourage you, wherever you are, however you feel, God's love and kindness has appeared to you. Are your eyes open to see it? Are your ears open to hear it? Because His mercy has saved you. And not only has His mercy saved you, His mercy has called you and made you an heir. And as His mercy saves you and calls you to be an heir, He gives you purpose to do good works. We are not done here. This church is not done. We are not done. But we have to understand and receive the call to do a good work. I saw the grass this morning and I was like, man, they did a good work. I don't know who cut it, but they edged it. I was like, oh my goodness, that is what I'm talking about, man. They didn't just stop and cut the grass. They said, let me make this pretty. And they were like, zzz, zzz, zzz. That is good work. These three fine young men came to help set up the flags and the cones. And they don't just put them up. They put it up on purpose. So when you come in, you see the signs. When you turn, you're not going too fast because my kid might be running around. We don't want him to get hit. So you go in a curve so you can slow down. That is a good work. We are called to do good works. We are no longer in this stage of like, well, I've served long enough. I've done that forever. It's time for the next generation. No, 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 no. You're still breathing. You're still alive. You're still mobile. You got good work to do. It might be different. It might not be the grunt work or working serving with your hands and feet, but it might be just encouraging somebody, mentoring somebody, praying for somebody. You got a good work to do. God saved us, not so we could just be okay with it and be like, yeah, I'm saved. I'm all good. I got my path to heaven. And that's what most people do. Like, hey, I accepted Jesus, and then they go back to their lives. No, God saved you to make you an heir. And as an heir, you do what your father does. You do what you're in line to do. And we're called to do a good work. No matter how big or small you may think it is, you're doing a good work. We're doing a good work. It might not seem like it at the beginning. Trust me, I am the most impatient person when it comes to getting things done. I'm like, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go. We need to do this, we need to do that. And I get frustrated and I get that. But when I sit back and I'm reminded that God saved me and that anything that I do will not please Him anymore or discourage Him any less, that He loves me for me and He's working in me, God, you're doing a good work in me. And as you're working in me, let me do a good work so that people see my good works and they don't say, hey, man, you're a hard worker. No. Hey, God's doing something good in you. God's working in you. God has saved you because you have changed. He saved you and you walk with confidence for some reason. Why? Because He saved me. And He's given me a good work to do. For those of us looking for a purpose, He's given you a purpose. For those looking for an identity to be accepted or whatever, God is your Father. He has saved you. He's making you an heir. And He's given you a purpose to do good works. Whether it's to say please and thank you, Whether it's to make that nice edge on the grass, whether it's to take the trash or record on videos or sing on stage, whatever it is, God has given you a good work. Not to pat your stats, not to build a resume, not to show off or to check off anything, so that you are reminded who saved you and who's given you that purpose. So you're reminded whose son or daughter you are. You are a daughter and a son of the King. Be filled with joy today. Be filled with purpose. Be filled with compassion. Be filled with confidence. Be filled with power. Be filled with love. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, because God has saved us. His mercy saved us. His love and His kindness has appeared to us. And we can leave here today filled with joy, filled with courage, filled with purpose, filled with perseverance. Because I know not everybody is going to have a great rest of the week, but I know you can and you will be filled with perseverance, because God is with you. He's made you a child. He's saved you, and He's given you a good work to do. It might be hard. Trust me, it is. There are times where you do not want to do a good work, but God has given you the strength and the courage and the calling to do so, to do a good work, so we can leave here today filled with joy, filled with power, filled with opportunities to glorify the God who saved us. Be filled today, and no matter what you're going through, open your eyes to see and your ears to hear that His kindness and love has appeared to you today in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for today. Thank You for this time together. God, I don't know what everyone's going through. Only You do. And I just pray that they were encouraged today, no matter what they're going through, whatever season they're in, that their eyes would see and their ears would hear that Your kindness and love has appeared, and You saved us because of Your mercy and not because of anything we do or will do or have done. And so, God, I just pray that we would be filled today, that You would just give us a little anointing of Your Holy Spirit, that You would cover us with Your Holy Spirit, that we would just leave today, God, filled, and that it would carry us throughout the rest of the week, and that we would seek You and ask for You throughout this week, so that we would be filled and be reminded of Your kindness and love that has appeared in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Thank You for this time together. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, we take communion every Sunday together as a church. And what's interesting about communion, and this is going to sound like a weird statement, but G was right. We don't deserve to take it. You ever thought about that? That we don't deserve a place at the table? You know what's interesting is that when Jesus came down to the earth and lived among us, do you know who Jesus ate with? He ate with tax collectors and sinners, the scripture says. In fact, He often would be questioned by the religious leaders about that very thing. Why does your rabbi eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why does he eat with people that are unworthy? Well, here's the thing. We all are unworthy. None of us are good enough to partake of communion. We all are in need of a Savior. All of us are in need of a Savior. And what makes us worthy, what makes communion extra special, is that there isn't anything within us that makes us worthy. It's just the fact that Jesus makes us worthy. And so every time we come together, we have this, there's this opportunity that we have to sit back and in some ways thank the Lord for making us worthy. Not only worthy to partake of the bread and the cup that reminds us of what Jesus did at the cross and at the tomb, but it reminds us of our salvation and how we didn't earn it. There's nothing we can do to earn it. We can never be good enough. Never be good enough. And only Jesus is the one that makes us worthy. And so today, our hope is that as you partake of communion, that you'll sit back just for a brief moment and just thank the Lord for His grace and His mercy, for His goodness and His kindness, that He would first step into our world and live among us, and secondly, that He would go to the cross and die for our sins, the sins that He knew that we would commit. He died for those sins, and so therefore He loves us and He cares for us. And you know what's interesting is God loves for us to take communion. He loves for us to sit up and in some ways eat with Him, just as He ate with those people many, many years ago. And so today as you partake, our hope is that you'll remember that. You'll thank the Lord for what He's done for you. But also, too, we also see in Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says that as often as we do it, we also proclaim the Lord's death until He comes back. We proclaim what God has done for us. We proclaim His salvation. And there are people in this world that are hurting. This world is extremely broken. We're finding ourselves in a world that is becoming more and more broken day after day after day. And there are people that need the Lord now more than ever. And so who is going to tell them about Christ? Who is going to share the goodness and the kindness and the mercy of Christ? That's all of us as followers of Jesus. And so in an odd way, when we partake, we also proclaim what God has done for us and for others. And so maybe today you need to be praying for some people that need to know who Jesus is. Maybe you need to pray for some people that have walked away from the Lord and need to come back. Maybe you need to pray for those that you need to begin to speak with and talk with and share the love of Christ with. And I'm telling you something. Just this past week, I've had conversations, multiple conversations with people in desperate need of Jesus, desperate need of who He is. People are recognizing and they're hurting and they need someone to share the love of Jesus with them. And that's what we are all about at MC3. And so here in a second, just as I get ready to pray, we're going to encourage you, if you're new with us, don't know how things work, you're going to come up to the tables. You can grab the bread, grab the cup. You can take it back to your seat. You can take it here. You can take it to the tables off to the side. There's a place there where you can stand up and pray on one side, or you can kneel on the other. There also, you'll find some cut nails there. If you've got a prayer that you want, not only for you to pray for, but for other people as well. As G said, Leslie and I were going through the nails the other day, just kind of seeing what some of the prayer requests were so that we could pray with them as well. And so we encourage you, if you've got a prayer request, write it on a nail and put it onto the cross. There's little holes there you can put it onto. But here's the best part. Our hope is that you've already put a nail up and that the Lord has answered that prayer. Because we believe the Lord answers prayer, that He does answer, that He's got the power to do that. Scripture says, the Lord says, is my arm too short? You know, there's nothing the Lord cannot do. And we understand that. And so the greatest thing that happens here at MC3, besides a baptism and besides us serving out in the community, is that we are able to take a nail and get it off the cross so that the Lord has answered, just drop it in the jar. That's what this is all about. Our hope is that over this year, we'll have to have more jars because God has answered the prayers. And so today, recognize that none of us are worthy. We're just not. But it's not about that. It's about the fact that we need a Savior. And His name is Jesus. And He loves you more than anything. So let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time of communion that is an incredible reminder of what You have done for us. It's an incredible reminder of where we fit in the position of things. Sometimes, Father, we get this idea that we are good enough, that we do deserve it, that we are much better than the people that are around us. And yet, Father, when we really take an assessment of things, when we look at your scripture, when we spend time with you in your presence, we recognize that we are not worthy, that there is no good really in us, but that you are good and you make up the difference. And we thank you for that, Father God. And because you went to the cross, because you paid for our sins, you've made us worthy to eat at your table. As Gerardo said, that you've made us heirs. We're not just citizens of heaven, but we are children of yours. Not just second-class children, but we are children of yours. And we thank you for that. And so today, we partake in joy and in love and in excitement of what you have done for us. And yet also too, Father, we recognize there are people that we want to also be at the table. And so, Father, we pray you'd put them on our hearts today. People that we need to reach out to. The people that we need to just to be a friend to. People that we need to even study scripture together with, Father, so they can draw close to you. And so, Father God, in this time, I pray that you would just reveal to us the people that we need to reach, that need to know you, and need your salvation. It's in Jesus' name we pray all these things.